The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This is issue number 55, and we're going to get into year 3 of Harry Potter. Yep, that's right, year 3. I'm very excited. I realized it goes by the years, and that comes up in the podcast. But before we get into Harry Potter, we have, this week we actually talked about 3 covers that we really liked, and we have a couple of new 5-star reviews. Thank you to everybody that's been reviewing lately. So let's get into the store for all that and more. Hey, John, I'm back. We're back.
We are back.
You glad I'm back?
How you doing? Always.
Nice. How's your week going?
So far, so good. You know, it's Monday, so...
You know, there you go.
Can't really complain too much yet.
Happy Monday morning.
That's right.
Nice. Hey, I had a chance to look at those a few of those covers from the other day.
Yeah.
That one that you said, the Marauders.
Yes,
that is nice.
Kitty. I really like that.
I was actually surprised when I saw that. I was like, wow, he really liked that? Like, you really like that?
I do.
Like, the way she's coming through the cover?
Yeah, I like the use of white space and the cover. And I just think the art itself, like, the...
It's simple.
Like, it is, but I don't know. I really liked it. It struck me.
And I also liked the Daredevil scone.
Yes. Yes. That one was really good, too. The Elektra.
Yeah. Very colorful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I like that.
But... honestly, I think my favorite one was the Joker Harley Criminal Sanity number 2.
Oh yeah, Miko Soyan.
Yeah.
Soyan.
Yeah, I'm Swayan. Glad you tried to say it.
Well, yeah, I tried.
Yeah. that's an awesome cover. With the Joker in the background and the back of
and it's that,
Harley.
Again, that kind of photorealistic
more
realistic color cover. Yeah, it's really cool. I'm looking at it again right now.
Yeah. You can see, like, at the top, the light coming in the windows is, like, it's green, almost like his hair. Yeah. But it's not. It's just the light coming. It's just really cool cover. Plus, I'm really looking forward to that book.
Yeah, that was, like I said, when we talked about it, it wasn't my favorite of the Black Label so far. But I'm still looking forward to reading it. You know, I did like it. I don't think it's as good as Harlene, though, and that's the thing. You know, right now we've got Harlene, we've got that one, and then we've got Joker Killers. So we've got a lot of Harley and Joker Black Label going on right now.
It's funny because the Criminal Sanity one is my favorite. I haven't finished Harlene 2 yet. I started it last night, but I haven't finished it yet. But it is good. I like them all. But this one is, I'm really, really looking forward to number 2. I really like the number 1 book. I know you didn't like it as much, but hey, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're different people.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. You said it.
You got anything for news? I got a couple things here. What do you got?
Well, I have a couple things also. I saw that it was posted today, and this is something that we speculated on. I think this was not really news, but it looks like Emily Bett Rickards, who is Felicity on Arrow, will be back for the Arrow finale. Like I said, I don't think that's much of a surprise.
Yeah, no.
to anybody.
We said that right away, like as soon as she was... They always come back. They, you know...
Yeah. Well, like I said, even just... for that finale, obviously she's not back for the whole season, but it would have been hard to say goodbye to that show and have her not be not be part of it, especially with the way they wrote her out of the show to begin with.
Right, she didn't die, she didn't do anything, she just went to wait for him.
Right, so not having her back for the finale, although it kind of tells you what the ending's going to be too.
Well, actually, wait a minute, no, I'm sorry, she's right now in real time, she's off on her own raising the baby. it's the end in the future that she goes off to be with Oliver.
That's true. That's true.
So right now, she's still on Earth. She's still there. She's raising...
Mia.
Mia, yeah. There you go. Mia Smoke. So, yeah, so she's still around. She just went into seclusion to raise the baby. So that's not really a big deal. I was mixing up the fact that she went off into the darkness.
I was thinking the same thing.
To be with Oliver.
I was thinking of that same, because that's kind of the last thing we saw of her.
Right.
And that's why,
yeah,
you know, that's why we were thinking that. But yeah, like I said, I don't think that's much of a surprise. But and then I saw also today that it looks like Disney Plus may be developing a Darth Maul series. So the rumor was that he would probably appear on the Obi-Wan show.
Yep.
But now it looks like may still be the case, I guess. And
right.
That may actually lead into a spinoff show for him. So, I mean, again, he's one of those characters kind of like Boba Fett that didn't get a ton of screen time initially, but everybody just loves.
Right.
And it's really just because he looks awesome.
Yeah.
So,
he's got cool face paint. He's got horns. Yeah. He's in two pieces.
Exactly. He could definitely be in two places at once. So he could be on the Obi-Wan show and his own show at the exact same time. So
bottoms up.
Depending on the camera angles. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. Again, who's not going to watch that, you know, if it comes to place. And then actually, speaking of the Obi-Wan show, did you see the
Obi-Wan show? McGregor's... It sounds like it's a talk show.
Yeah, I know, right?
Tonight on the Obi-Wan show.
But now, like Ewan McGregor is doing talk shows and talking about how, you know, he's basically had to been lying for the last like 4 years about this show because he's known about it for like 4 years, but hasn't been able to spill the beans, and now he finally can.
Yeah, it's
finally can come out and say it.
But again,
we've been hearing rumors of this show for at least 4 years.
Are you telling me actors aren't honest with us all the time? I mean, 100.
I know it's a hot take, but
they're actors. They lie for a living,
right? But like I said, I just thought it was kind of cool that like this thing's actually been a known quantity for years, and you know he's finally able to come out and talk about it. So that's cool. And then kind of the last thing, and again, I don't think this is a big surprise to anybody, but Ant-Man 3 has now been confirmed by Marvel.
Yeah.
Looks like Peyton Reed is directing.
Another shocker tonight.
Yeah, well, but it wasn't part of their initial lineup for the next phase.
Okay.
So, I think there was speculation about whether we were actually going to get an Ant-Man 3 or not, but it looks like, you know, we definitely are. And, you know, again, the first two were successful enough that I can't see why they wouldn't do it. And it looks like everybody was willing to come back. So it seems like a no brainer. And that's it for me. I know you've got a couple things also.
The only other one I have is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse announced for April 8th, 2022.
Yeah, I saw that today. So again, no surprise that we're getting that sequel, but now at least we have
a date. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a date and a time frame for that. So that's good news too. I mean, that was really probably my second favorite Spider-Man movie ever. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, really awesome. So,
hey, did you see, we got two more reviews today?
I did see that.
Yeah. Yep. We got one from Paul Fossetti at Fossetti62 on Twitter. His says 5 stars, great content for all things comics. John and DJ are a great listen, very informative about comics for all corners of the comic world, from the big boys to the indies. And they do an excellent job on movie reviews. I love their Star Wars saga breakdowns. Definitely check them out.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And the other one we got is from underscore? That's how it's spelled. It's a underscore enderscore spelled
there you
out.
Go.
So positive vibes and knowledgeable hosts. 5 stars. I'm giving
Stop
5
right
stars
there.
For that title.
I know.
I enjoy every episode of this podcast because the hosts are always upbeat and happy to talk comics, but they are also very chill and relaxed. Great energy and relaxing conversation make this a must-listen for any comic book fans. That's awesome. Those
it's
are
awesome.
Both awesome. This is working. I like this.
I'm happy to be considered upbeat.
I think he was talking about me.
It said hosts with an S.
Yeah.
It didn't say.
No, I know.
Host. I mean, it's true, but that's why I'm saying I liked that.
All right. Are we ready to get to Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban?
I am ready.
All right. Let's do it then.
Okay.
Welcome, welcome to another year at Hogwarts.
Sirius Black has escaped from Azkaban prison. Swear to me, you won't go looking for Black.
Why would I go looking for someone who wants to kill me?
All right, first off, out of the gate, this is the first time I noticed on the titles that this says year three. I know you and Meg had explained that to me before, that each movie is an actual year of school.
Up until the fourth or fifth one, and I think that's when they start to run into, like, there's less gap between the movies. Like, I know six and seven are all take place at the same time.
Okay.
That's... 6 and 7 was really one long movie that was kind of split into two movies. So I think 5, maybe the last one where they like start another school year, you know.
Because
each one, you know, begins with them having just finished like their summer break or winter break or whatever it is.
And yeah, when I went to put the disc in, it actually says on each disc year one, year two. Does it? Year three.
Yeah, see,
I hadn't seen that before. And I think because it was mentioned the last time we did Harry Potter, when I think Meg said it, I was like, I just happened to notice it. And I was like, oh, look at me. I'm starting to pay attention here.
Yeah.
So now you had seen this before and you watched it again the other day.
Right. I watched it yesterday.
How was it the second time?
The day before. Well, I mean, it was good. Like I said, I don't know that I necessarily... Like, I didn't pick up anything new that I didn't catch first time around. No.
Okay.
But, you know, having really, like I said, I just watched it the first time a few months ago. So it wasn't like there was a long time between viewings. But I didn't really pick up on anything. Like, I thought that I might after having seen the whole thing all the way through.
Yeah.
But I didn't really notice anything that I hadn't seen the first time. But I still enjoyed it. Like I said, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I really like these movies. Like, this is where it starts to depart a little bit.
Definitely.
In the sense that, like, the first two we talked about had the same director, where this is the first one with a new director and kind of a new feel to it. Also, again, we brought up last time, and hopefully you noticed this even after hearing it, that you know, Dumbledore is... you know, a different actor.
What's funny is, as soon as he came on screen, like... For me, I'm, for one reason or another, I'm very, like, very good at picking up voices. So, like, if I hear a voice, I could be not looking at a screen and I'll hear a voice and I'll look at Jen and I'll be like, that's such and such from such and such movie, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, how the heck?
Right.
So right away, he has a completely different voice,
but
he looks like him.
I mean, they did a good job makeup wise.
Right. And it's a lot of hair.
As close as they can get him. They can't change his face, you know, drastically, but, obviously he's dressed the same and he has the same beard and all that. But yeah, obviously in the voice, you can't really.
Right.
Change
that. It's a completely different tone. The way he talks is different. Still, I thought he was great in the role. I mean, no problem. And
he's who you're going to see. Like, really, ends up being Dumbledore because he's five movies.
Right.
Richard Harris, you know, of course, just did the first two. So this, and I can't remember his name. I know we talked about it last time, but like this actor is the one really that you'll end up associating with Dumbledore by the end because he's the one you're going to live with for, you know, five movies.
Yeah. I thought this movie picked up kind of slow. I sat down to watch it. I was kind of excited for it because I've heard that this is where it really picks up. And the beginning was okay. It started the same as the other two, where like you're at his home. Right. It seems like the family is a little bit more accepting of him, but now it's that aunt that was a pain in the butt, and he literally blew her up, which
was awesome.
But what's funny is I'm like, isn't this assault? I'm watching it and I'm going, this is you, because like if,
well, you, I mean,
yes, it's assault. I mean, he didn't lay his hands on him, but he's a wizard. So, I mean, it's technically, right. it's assault, right? So right away, I was like, oh, well, maybe he's going to be the prisoner because he has to go to jail because of what he just did or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I'm like looking at it. And then right away, what, a couple of scenes later, they're like, oh, that's no big deal. We wiped their memory.
Right.
Which was kind of a cool twist because you're like, this can't be good. You can't just go around blowing people up and making them float away.
Right.
You know, but I still felt it was like the beginning was, you know, you had your little bus ride after that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was still kind of the same type of beginning as the other ones. Like they went on in the second one, didn't they take the car, the flying car?
Yeah.
So it was kind of the same thing. It was like we get the first one, they introduce you to the train, you got to run into the wall or whatever. So
right. And then they don't really ever take the train again to get back there.
Right. Well, they showed them at the train station in this one, but it wasn't, yeah. You already know what's going on. But I just felt like the beginning was still more of the same. So I was like, oh, well, maybe people just, but it did really pick up.
Yeah.
I found myself paying attention a lot better because I understand the movie. You know what I mean? It is not world building, right. As much world building going on.
Exactly. By now we know who everybody is.
Kind of. I'm still lost with names, but.
Well, but we know who the major players right. are. Every movie introduces a couple of new characters.
Yeah, Harry Potter's the one with the glasses and the scar, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
See?
But, you know, again, by now we know, you know, we know our main characters. We even know, you know, Draco. I mean, you know, like I said, you know all the players at this point. You know most of the teachers and things like that. So, and there's not as much setup with this one as, you know, we had in the first two for sure.
Right.
So, anyway.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know if no, you. Were, I'm just, I didn't know if no, you were going no, I was kinda, I got more.
Yeah, I say I was done there. So.
All right, so we get to the first part where this is where it really starts to be part of this movie, and when the first time that Harry Potter passes out on the train, because we had the, what did they call that?
Well, we meet the Dementors.
The
again,
Dementors.
We hadn't seen them up until now.
Right.
Right, and we know they're the guards of Azkaban.
Yeah.
And, you know, we find out that Sirius Black has escaped and,
so this is
like, again, this is the really kind of the first time that we had, you know, and obviously, you know, spoilers or whatever, we'll get to it at the end. And we know Sirius Black isn't really the big bad after all, but he was kind of introduced that way in the beginning. And this is the first one where it wasn't Voldemort, which was really right. kind of like the, you know, like we, like Voldemort really, like he was, well, he who shall not be named or whatever was mentioned a couple of times in the movie, but this really isn't about Voldemort. Yeah. At all. Like, he doesn't really have as much of a undercurrent in this movie as he did in the first two, and then obviously he will going forward.
Right.
But yeah, we hear about Sirius Black escaping, and the Dementors are searching for him, and yeah, they're searching the train that's on its way to Hogwarts, and obviously Harry has a different reaction to them than pretty much anybody.
Than everybody,
you know,
right.
Anybody else, yeah. They were cool. The Dementors were pretty... were pretty cool.
Are they like not even, are they not bad? They seemed like, well, weren't they guarding them?
The prison, right. They guard the prisoners in prison.
But they were also guarding the school too.
Well, they were guarding the school from Sirius Black. Like, I guess they were on loan from the prison.
Right.
because, you know, they are afraid that Sirius is going to come back and attack. So yes, I don't know if they'd be considered good, though, because Dumbledore makes the comment at one point that, like, they don't ask questions and they're not very forgiving and they don't really right. care who gets in their way. It's like, they don't care that Harry's the good guy. They're always trying to suck his face off, too. You know, it's kind of just like anybody that gets in their way of what they're doing, they're going to take them down one way or the other. So,
yeah.
I think they're more of a harnessed power than anything else.
Right. Okay,
but
yeah.
But not necessarily.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, good or evil.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to, like you said, even being Harry or, you know, any of the quote-unquote good guys, you don't want to mess with them or get in their way.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Oh, but that first scene where Harry passes out, and then when he comes to, they give him chocolate.
Right.
Right? And I thought that was kind of funny because chocolate's very good for you in those situations when you pass out. It's or when you're, right. you know, low on energy. Chocolate has an effect on you for that stuff.
Right.
And I thought it was fun. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool that they're doing that. And then they kept doing it later in the movie. It's not just like a kid's thing to do. That's like endurance athletes do that.
Right.
We hiked Mount Washington once and Jen was so upset going up. She's like, she didn't want to finish the mountain. We get to the top. We give her a little food and I gave her a Hershey bar and she was like literally skipping down the mountain. She
good
was
to
so
go.
Happy.
Yeah.
So it does have a good effect on that stuff. So I thought that was kind of cool. And it played out a few times through the movie. They're like, here, have some chocolate. So PSA, chocolate isn't all that bad for you.
Right.
So. I liked that, I loved that chicken horse, whatever that thing was, that the
oh,
that he
the,
rode.
Yeah, what
he's
was
the
it?
Best.
The griffin?
It wasn't a griffin. Was it a griffin?
I forget what he was, but it was Buckbeak was his name.
Buckbeak?
Yeah. Buckbeak.
He was so cool. He was like,
yeah.
I liked the way his manner, they did a really good job at like with his mannerisms. He's like a dog. Like he liked Harry, but he didn't like anybody else.
Right.
And then obviously I knew that they didn't kill him. Of course, I'm jumping ahead here.
Right.
I knew they didn't kill him, but when they had that scene and it's off camera, I'm like, no. No. And my eyes were rolling. I was like, no, come on. You can't do that. Cause it was so sad. And you're looking at him. And I was just like, I was thinking of Meg in the last Harry Potter episode we did. And she's like, when the phoenix burst into flames,
right.
All the animal and the owl, everybody's.
Well,
like,
I say, yeah, you were hung up on the owl being hurt.
Yeah. And it's like, all of them now, the rat went missing in this one. And it's like, I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Well, the rat. Yeah, it plays a big part.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, I thought he was pretty cool. One other thing is on that poster of Sirius Black.
Yeah.
I hadn't looked at this movie. I hadn't looked on IMDb or anything. I looked at that poster and I'm like, that has to be Gary Oldman. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't know he was in it. But that poster, the moving poster of him screaming or whatever, it's like, it just looked like him. And then as they kept showing it, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's Johnny Depp. Because and then when he actually came on screen and he was like, I was like, it's Gary Oldman, but I think he's playing like Johnny
he's
Depp.
He's playing Johnny
from
Depp.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. He's playing Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, exactly. One other little thing doesn't really pertain to the movie, but oh, it does pertain to the movie. It doesn't really pertain to the plot of the movie. Is that one scene when they all went on the field trip and Harry had to stay behind,
right?
Because he didn't have his permission slip signed. And I never had that happen to me. My parents signed my permission slips, but I just got that sick feeling in my stomach from when we were kids and those couple of kids that had to stay at the school.
Always had to stay back, yeah.
And it's like, well, it wasn't, not always. I never noticed it was always the same kids, but it was like,
no.
There would always be a couple.
There would always be somebody, right?
And it's
always
like, they didn't get them signed or their parents didn't sign them or the kids forgot or whatever. And you're just like, oh, I felt sick. I was like, I always felt bad for those kids having to stay back at the school.
Yeah, but free day for those kids because there's no teachers there teaching them anything. So, like, maybe they didn't want to go to Sturbridge Village to begin with. Maybe they wanted to hang out at the school by themselves and do nothing.
Sitting that turns the school into a prison. You're just sitting there. You got nothing to do.
Well, yeah, that was back before the days when we had cell phones. And, like, nowadays, like, I've seen enough whales. I don't need another whale watch. I'd rather just stay back at the school all day with my iPad.
And, I actually never went on the whale watch in high school when we did. Yeah, I didn't take oceanography. You went on the whale watch.
I don't think I took it either. Like, I don't remember taking that as freshman a class, year. But I went on a whale watch. I know that. Yeah. But I don't remember I didn't take oceanography as a class.
Jen and I went on a whale watch on our honeymoon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we got our money back. We didn't see any whales.
You didn't see any whales. Well, I think, don't you have to sign some kind of disclaimer at the beginning?
No.
Like, they can't guarantee whales.
No, you know? We were out there for a while.
Yeah, because usually, honestly, if you can't make the field trip, then you just stay home for the day. Like,
well,
I just didn't go to
high
school.
High school was,
you know,
different, though, because it was like you had different classes. Right. Not everybody went. But, all right, back to the movie.
Yeah, a little tangent there,
Yeah, a little tangent. So, how about, I think the first part of the movie that really started to play off as what's coming up and what's going to happen is Hermione popping in.
Right.
And you don't even see her pop in. It's just, it's always, what's his name?
Where did she come from? Right. It's always Ron.
Yeah. It's always like, yeah, Ron.
Where did she come from?
You don't notice it. And so the final one, usually when I watch a movie for the first time, I want to sit down. I want to absorb the movie. I don't touch anything. I don't want, you know, I don't rewind, fast forward or anything. But I was compelled to on this one. I'm like, what is going on here? Cause it's like, I think that was the second or third time she had like appeared. Right. And I'm like, am I not seeing her? And then Ron, like, is she already there? And Ron, I was trying to figure out, is Ron going like nuts or is she actually popping in? So it was on that scene that I was like, that's it. I grabbed the remote and I rewound. I was like, I watched the scene like three times to see where she was. And
well, and I guess I'll say that because having seen it once already,
right,
you know, then you notice like in the hut when they're getting hit with the rocks and it's kind of like I knew what was going on. Whereas the first time around, you're watching it, you're like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Who are they looking for? And, you know, when they look back to the bushes and all that
stuff. We'll get to that whole little loop-de-loop.
Yeah, because they don't ascribe to the end game theory of time travel, but we'll talk about that later.
This is going to be a long podcast. Oh, man. So, yeah, so that also leads to the Hermione being called a know-it-all.
Right.
Which I think is really interesting because by the end of the movie, they compliment her a couple more times that she's like the most knowledgeable student they've ever seen.
Right.
But they never actually show you that she's taken these classes multiple times. That's the only way she can be this smart. Cause she's sat through the classes a couple of times.
I didn't get the sense of that.
That's why she knows everything.
I think it's just that she's taking so many classes at the same time. Like she's able to take more classes. I don't think she's taking the same class over and over again.
She goes through the same class, and then when she pops back in, that's the last time she's in the class, and that's when she answers it, and everybody goes, oh, look at you, you're so smart. But she was already there earlier. Just like her and Harry go back through that time period, and she figures out there, like, I need to throw a rock here because we got hit with a rock. That's a brutal loop. That just keeps on going forever.
No, because she... When Dumbledore tells her to actually go back in time those 3 days, you know, you get the sense that she three wines or whatever, that she hadn't really been doing that. Like, I thought she was just using the amulet to speed up time so she could get from class to class faster.
No.
She says something like that. That's how she was able to take two classes at once.
No, Dumbledore tells her, like, he like winks at her when he says it. He goes, I think it should take about three wines. And she goes, okay. Like she's like, okay, I know what to do. So she rewinds it three times, but she knows what to do. She knows how to use this.
Oh, I know. Well, I know. You know what I mean?
So, and it's, I don't think it puts her in two places. Well, she could take the classes, but, and then go into another class.
That's what I think she was doing. I think she made comment to that. I don't remember her really mentioning that she was sitting through, like, reliving the same time over and over and over again.
Well, they never mention why she knows everything.
Well, no, I just think she's smart.
No. I think it's because...
But they've talked about her being smart even in the other movies.
Right. Now maybe we're getting the clue that she has this time travel thing where she could take the class multiple times. You're going to be really smart, too, if you take calculus 12 times.
Well, I understand that, but...
All right, so moving on. The other thing I really liked was the a Quidditch match in the rain.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It was really cool. It seemed like... Well, I mean, we've seen Quidditch before, but... And it, you know, always seems like a dangerous game. But this seemed like the stakes were pretty high, you know? It's like...
Well, yeah, they're flying around on a broomstick.
Yeah, in the lightning and the rain and...
Yeah, like, you know? When do you call the game?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I guess it's like football. They just keep... Well, even in football, if there's lightning, they stop playing.
Right.
But...
Well, the broomsticks are wooden, so you should be okay. And you're flying, so, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I was
you're not grounded.
Flying.
I mean...
Exactly. So
I don't know. I don't know.
And they're chasing after metal balls, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, it was... I guess they ramped up this... Because, you know... You don't want to just watch another Quidditch match, right?
Exactly.
You've already seen one in the first movie. So
you've
they have
seen
to do
one, you've
to
seen
make
them
it.
All.
Exactly.
Yep.
Which, you know, spoilers, this isn't the last one, last Quidditch match we'll see either. But,
it
seemed like they
next?
had to ramp the stakes up a little bit. So, yeah, this one was, like I said, pretty rough conditions they were playing in. And then, you know, obviously Harry flies a little too close to the sun.
Yeah, it's like what did he do? I forget.
Well, he flew too close to the Dementors.
And he passed out again.
It's like he passes out again. And of course this now he's not sitting on a train, he's, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred feet in the air on a broomstick. So obviously pretty dangerous situation. And, you know, we don't really see how he gets out of it exactly. Like, we know that as he's falling, Dumbledore starts to cast some kind of spell, and then he just wakes up in the, you know, in the hospital. So we don't know if he bounced or, like, we don't know.
I think Dumbledore caught him.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he was already passed out. So.
Right.
One of the things that I thought was interesting, going back to that, the chicken horse thing, what'd you call it?
I thought it was a griffin, but
okay.
Could be wrong.
All right, maybe. But when he rode him for the first time, which I thought was really cool. I mean, I love dogs. I love animals. I would love to ride a flying chicken horse.
Right.
but he seemed a little too amazed and happy with flying for a guy that can fly around on a broomstick.
Yeah, it's not his first rodeo, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, it just seemed like that one actually seemed like more tame. Like, the broomstick seemed pretty quick.
Yes.
You know, it's like you're used to driving around in a Ferrari and somebody gives you like a Miata and you're like, yay! Right. You're like, not you're really.
You're on a horse and carriage all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a better analogy. You're used to riding around in a Ferrari and somebody gives you a horse and carriage, which is like, cloppity clop.
So, yeah, I guess. Maybe it's just the fact of being, like, having, you know, like a live animal under you or something. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, I guess, you know, not a new experience for him at this point, so it shouldn't have been that, I guess.
I mean, it was a cool scene. I get that.
It was.
I like the bonding with the animal, but that was fun, but. All right, from there, I think the next thing off the top of my head, I'm thinking, you know, Harry gets that map from the Weasleys,
From the Weasleys, right.
Yep.
He gets the map that kind of shows him.
That's a cheating map.
That's awesome. Yeah. Right. It basically shows the location of every person in Hogwarts.
Everybody. Yeah. That's a find my iPhone for everybody that has an iPhone.
Right.
It's like, that's cheating. That's.
Or, you know, where's Waldo?
You love Waldo.
I do love Waldo.
You love Waldo. Simple, simple boy.
I know.
So anyway, so he gets this map and he goes on. He actually sees on the map, what was the guy's name? The dead guy.
Peter Pettigrew.
Peter Pettigrew.
Right, who he had heard, you know, was dead. And that's why he thinks the map is defective.
Well, he went to look for him in the hall because he's tracking him to see what it was like. But then when he gets there, there's nobody there, but he walked by him. Or Peter walked by him. You know what I mean? But there was nothing there, and he was using his
wand. That's right.
I'm
sorry. He didn't think he was dead. It was, he's tracking Peter Pettigrew, and it's when he mentions him to Professor Lupin, and he's the one that says, well, that can't be because Peter Pettigrew is dead. Because
Harry knew that too. I thought he was like,
I don't think he did it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure now going back to it. I think Professor Lupin, you know, cause he runs into Snape in the hallway and Snape, yep. you know, wants to confiscate the map and, Snape doesn't really know what it is, but he doesn't know what Harry's doing out there and wants him to read the map to him. And that's when Professor Lupin comes in.
Well, didn't Harry change it? It didn't look like a map to Snape. It looked right. like well, that.
Because if you don't say the right words, it appears as just basically a piece of paper, and right. he was reading something on it that was an insult to Snape, really.
Right, right.
you know, being kind of sarcastic. But like I said, then Professor Lupin kind of joins him in the hallway and saves Harry from getting in trouble. And I think that's where Harry mentions Peter Pettigrew to Lupin.
Right.
I guess that's how he realizes that he's still alive, but he thought he was dead. And I think he says something to Harry there that
right.
that can't be because he's dead or something like that. But yeah, and it's a kind of at this point where, like for me, I started to wonder about him, Lupin. Because you're always expecting these teachers to, you know, really be up to no good.
Yeah.
right.
Well, he was the one that I thought all along, I'm like, something's up here. Like right. he's too good to be true the way he's helping and.
Right. But he ends up not. Like, he ends up being too good to be true, really. I mean, he really is on Harry's side the whole time.
He is.
You know, obviously he's a werewolf, and so,
right.
you know, he's got that going for him. But, but I mean, he is, it's not like he's up to no good. Like, he is really genuinely trying to help Harry and on his side. But I didn't think so at this point.
You know, well, that's like, what I mean. I suspected he was. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and then of course when you see him finally with Sirius Black, and then they have this, even seeing it the second time, knowing, like I knew it the second time I watched it that, you know, Sirius Black wasn't the bad guy. Like I kind of knew everything that was going to happen. But even still, that conversation, that initial conversation that they're having with each other when Harry first runs into him, it seems like it's a weird conversation. Because Sirius is really not coming off like he's a good guy. Like, he doesn't say, hey, Harry, no, I'm not the bad guy here. You know, he kind of plays along with it for a
right.
minute.
Well, I think that's...
But looking back on it the second time, it may be, like, why is he having this conversation? Because I already knew that he was one of the good guys at that point.
Right, but I think on first viewing, the idea is that they didn't want to come out right away and make him the innocent man. So
right.
you kind of, that leaves the doubt in the first viewing. So the second time you watch it and you know he is innocent, it does seem kind of weird.
Right, it just kind of calls that conversation into question. Because
right.
when I was watching it this time around, I was thinking to myself, why is he acting that way and why is he saying these things? Because he's, you know, basically, he's one of the good guys. So,
yeah.
So I just thought that scene was a little weird the way it played out.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, then this is when we find out about Peter Pettigrew and we find out about the rat.
and, yeah.
You know, all this stuff starts to, you know, kind of come into focus a little bit. But yeah, again, that was a big twist that, you know, I didn't see coming at all. And I'm, like I said, this was your first viewing through it.
Right.
So kind of interested to see how you reacted to.
I thought it was a lot. I thought it was a blast.
Yeah.
I was looking for so many different things throughout the movie, trying to pay attention. And like I said, I thought I was doing a good job with it. And then as the movie played out, I guess I was, cause I knew I saw the clues that were going to lead to the things that were going to come up. They were foreshadowing, you know, like Hermione showing up and, you know, all of that.
Right.
Also the chicken horse there, I knew he would play a role at the end, even though we saw that he was
right.
supposedly executed. The one question to me was, in all of that, I guess they had to go back in time, but they didn't change anything. So usually when you go back in time, I don't know. It's kind of funny. It's one
well,
of
those. They saved Buckbeak.
Right. But when you find out that they went back in time, they had already done it. And that's why it's that endless loop. It's like it's the Terminator loop.
Right.
Where it's like he's the father, he has to come back so that John can be born, and it's an endless loop. So like they had both already gone back in time, because not only did she throw the rocks, but Harry's the one that saved himself.
Well, right, that's what I was saying, because even when you find out on the beach that Harry is the one that cast the spell and saved himself, when they're flying away, he says, I knew I could do it because I'd already done it.
Done it. What happened the first time? So well, it's right, one of those ones it's... that makes you like, oh, that's why I said, I'm like, this is going to be a long podcast, because it just goes round and round and round.
Right.
But it's like there has to be a first.
That's what I'm saying, because the Professor Hulk theory says you can't go back in time and do something different and
I'm gonna shorten
have a
this
different outcome.
Right. I'm going to shorten this podcast by days just by saying, let's stick with one movie.
I know. But I'm just saying. That's why I mentioned it earlier. It's like it's a different
rules.
I don't know. Like it was right, because like I said, it was weird to me. What really stood out was Harry saying that.
Right.
You know, it's like, I knew I could do it because I'd done it before, but
what
was the first go through? Like,
right. And that's like the John Connor.
Right.
How is he born the first time?
Right. Is it the chicken or the egg?
That's what I mean. The chicken, horse, or the wand. Which came first? That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's why I liked the whole Terminator story. That's why, you know, this is fun. This one I really like because it's all wrapped up in one movie. Obviously, I haven't seen another movie yet, but it does Hermione do this? Don't tell me, but does she use this power later on as well? Whatever. But that's how I feel at the end of this movie. I felt, you know, I was relieved, obviously, that the chicken horse lived, but I knew he was going to live. Them trying to get him away and he didn't want to go.
Right. Well,
which I thought
again,
was really funny.
Going through it the first time, even though there were, you know, obviously they were laying the seeds and there was foreshadowing happening, but like I never picked up, like I never thought for one second that there was a time travel story happening in this movie until they revealed it.
No, I know. Even
now,
with
again,
Hermione
going
popping
back and
in,
watching it the second time, you know, obviously you see so much more and.
Right.
You can pick up on the clues more because you know what's going to happen, obviously.
Right.
But, like, when the first time I watched it, it really threw me because I didn't expect to see time traveling going on in Harry Potter or anything like that. So I thought it was a really cool plot device, and I really liked this movie, actually, because of that. Like, I thought it was pretty well done, and it was creative, and you know,
I thought it was so well done that I want to go back and watch one and two again.
Yeah,
I haven't watched those a second time yet, but I obviously want to watch this one again for those, like you said, those plot points, little Easter eggs that come up. Like even Meg said, watching the second one, that was her second viewing when her and I watched it, and I watched it the first time, and she said there's so many little things. So I was really interested on your take on this one.
Well,
but she had literally watched it a week apart.
Well, right. But that's why I was saying earlier that even though it's only been a few months, like there was those things with the time travel that I knew about because I already knew them. But like, I don't think I picked up on, like, I don't remember picking up on anything that I didn't catch the first time around that weren't those big obvious things. Like, obviously I can't pick up on the time travel part because I've seen it once. So I know what happened.
Right.
So like when those scenes came up, it wasn't like I was picking up something new. It was just I understood what was happening.
Right.
But like I didn't really notice any Easter eggs or anything the second time through that, you know, like I said, that explained more of the story or like things that I didn't catch the first time around. And I was kind of looking for stuff that, like I said, it really just didn't, for me, it didn't appear. I just thought it was fun seeing some of these things because I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
I had one other thing that I wanted to mention in that hallway scene when Harry was looking on the map and Snape intercepts him. Did you notice that Snape's wand like pulsates the glow? Did you pick up on that?
I didn't notice it. I wasn't paying attention to it.
So Harry's wand is just lit like the end of like a flashlight.
Right. Like E.T.'s finger.
Yeah, exactly. It's got a glow to the end of the wand, and he's lighting the way like a flashlight. But Snape's wand, I thought, was really interesting that it, like, pulsated, and you could see, like, light rings would come off of it, and, like, a rainbow to it. It would come off and go across the screen. And I was wondering, I'm like, are they showing that he's controlling his power? Like, he's that much more powerful than Harry is right now. Right. And, like, Harry, like, can light his wand, but Snape's like, I'm going to hold this back because I could really light the whole hallway up if I wanted to.
Well, that's what I was thinking when you, because I didn't notice it, but when you started talking about it, I just thought that maybe there were different applications. Like, maybe he was just using a different
spell. His battery might have been low.
Right. Like, but a different spell form, or because, again, we know also that every wand is unique and different.
Yeah.
Because, in the first movie, the wand chooses the wizard, you hear all that stuff. So,
right.
Like, maybe the powers just don't work the same in every single wand. I don't know.
Because I don't know what it was. I just thought it was really interesting.
Like, when they're students in class, they're all trying to cast the same spells with different wands. But, like, maybe the actual application of the spell is slightly different.
Yeah.
Depending on how the wand is made, or I don't know.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten the latest iOS update.
Exactly.
It's, the app's not working right. I can see that, yeah.
I mean, one's halogen and one's,
Exactly. Exactly. No, I thought it was really cool looking, and it really, really looked cool. Go back and watch that scene, see if you see that. It looks really cool. You got anything else? Other than our opinions of the movie where,
Well, no, I said, but I know that we're going to go through our rankings, I guess. That's what we do. Yeah.
And number one.
I knew for sure that this would be number one for you because I know that, not that you disliked the first two, but I know they weren't like your total favorites.
No.
But I think this was so far number one also out of the first three. The change in director and the change in tone of the movie.
Yeah.
I liked a lot. And I really liked the time travel, and I thought it was smarter.
Well, I think the characters are getting older.
Right.
The actors are getting older. The characters are getting older. I don't know if the writing's getting smarter or I think it is, but I think that's also, compounded by the fact that we're not world building.
Well, right. And everybody's settled into their parts now.
But they can also write a deeper story because the audience would be able to pick up. I mean, if you wrote a story this convoluted in the first one,
right.
You'd be like, your head would be spinning because you don't know. There's so much world building going on in the first one and then even still in the second one.
Right. But like here, by number three, you can just jump right into the movie.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to do anything special to set anybody up.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. Really looking forward to the next one. I don't know when we're going to be able to do the next one.
I'm not sure. It's definitely going to be after New Year's probably because
you think?
I think we've got a full slate for the rest of November and December.
Yeah. We got Disney Plus stuff coming. We've got Star Wars to get in by the end of the year.
Four more Star Wars movies to get to.
It's a rough life we lead here, huh?
I know. It's
first
tough.
World problems.
It's tough.
Speaking of that, have you seen any of C yet?
No.
I watched 45 minutes of it before we were able to record now, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I made a liar out of myself already because I took a stance on Thursday that I wasn't going to be a subscriber.
I don't know if you took a stance. You just said it aggravates you. You were irritated.
I said explicitly that I made the decision that on November 1st, I would not be a subscriber to Apple TV, that I just wasn't going to do it.
Oh, and, but they gave it to you for free.
So well, right. So, right. That's what I was going to say. I made a liar out of myself, but in theory, I did not because I got a free year subscription because I had purchased an Apple product in the past. So I'm not going to pass up a gift horse, of a free subscription, but we'll see on November 2020. We'll see if I'm still a subscriber, but yeah, so I actually do have access to all of that stuff, but I haven't watched any of it yet.
More content, baby.
That's the whole thing is I didn't get to it today because I don't have time. I don't have time for it.
I know. I made time. I forced myself to, but hey.
I did watch Titans today though.
I haven't seen that
being
yet.
Friday, yeah, and that was
I'm gonna
not
watch
as good
that.
As last. Yeah, not as good as last week, but still such a good show. I
oh, so good.
I can't say enough good things about Titans.
Yeah.
And again, if I end up continuing to be a subscriber to DC Universe in the future, it will be because of that show going on. And that's it. So.
Yeah, it's a great show. Great show. All right. We ready to get out of here?
Yep.
All right. What did you guys think of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban and, flying chicken? The chicken horse. My favorite character. I don't even know his name.
Don't know his name or what he is, but he's your favorite character.
Once you named it, like when I saw him on the screen, I said out loud, I was like, oh, that is an awesome chicken horse. So that's what stuck in my head ever since.
But I know one of our listeners can count this for us, but I think you said chicken horse more than Harry in the Harry Potter podcast. So
it is the chicken horse movie. Year three is known as isn't that the Chinese chicken horse year?
Right, it's the year of the chicken horse.
Chicken horse. All right, what'd you think of the chicken horse? Let us know at brightside_chat. I can't even say our name right now. Our Twitter handle.
Chicken horse.
Yeah. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com or on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, a host of other ones. And of course, we are on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Go to nerdylegion.com, subscribe to the Nerdy Legion, and you'll get everything from us to there's a great new home theater one. John, have you heard it yet?
I have heard it. I heard the intro episode and I was furiously looking for the new one before the show started.
Yeah. Episode 2, Star Wars, dropped today as we record this. So that's out there. The host with the most, he's awesome. He's a little stiff.
Yep.
It's not that easy. Yeah. So, there's a Brightside Home Theater podcast. But they also obviously tons of comic podcasts, Indie Alley. For one of them, you got Nerdy Legion. There's fantasy football. There's wrestling. I think there's a cooking show. I don't know.
Oh wow! You name it.
There's a ton of them. Just go there, subscribe. If you can't find anything, then you shouldn't be listening to podcasts. To be honest. All right. Let's get out of here. What do we got coming? I almost forgot to ask you, and I know you have it.
I will in a second.
You had this scared like we're live.
No, I was like, I just forgot that. I know I had it. Okay.
Yeah, I can pull it up.
Yeah, I got it right here. All right, yeah, so coming this Wednesday, we've got Green Lantern Black Stars number 1, just a 3-issue miniseries, but
cool.
That should be good. We've also got New Mutants number 1.
Yep.
Undiscovered Country number 1, which was actually, I've got a chance to read that.
What is
that?
Well.
That's the new, it's by Scott Snyder and, Charles Soule and, Giuseppe Comancoli does the art. Again, it's my favorite genre, dystopian future.
Post-apocalyptic,
story. But yeah, basically it takes place in a little bit in the future where the United States has walled itself off from the rest of the world and,
That seems like a timely topic.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, they basically walled themselves off to insulate against an outbreak that was happening. And so basically the rest of the world is kind of torn by this outbreak. And everybody thinks that the U.S. is behind this wall and it's like a paradise. And you come to find out that that's not quite the truth. So it was pretty interesting.
Was it a larger version of the mall?
Yeah. I read just the first issue, so obviously I don't really know where everything's going, but like I said, it was pretty intriguing, and I enjoyed it. And then we've got X-Force number 1. So this is the first week where we've had two new X-Men books coming out in the same week.
Yeah.
But obviously both of the... Now, New Mutants is written by Jonathan Hickman. Can't remember who's doing X-Force, but... I am looking forward to New Mutants, especially because, he's writing it. Good stuff coming.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
All right.
We will be back with something. We'll be back on Thursday with those books and more.
Exactly.
All right. I'll see everybody on Thursday. Have a good week, everybody.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.